time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of cannabis. And have your specific questions answered by emailing jennifer@cannabama.com or text or call 343-0106. And now, for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer, owner and founder of Cannabama in downtown Mobile. We're located at 558 St. Francis Street, just a block up from Wenzel's, and in the middle of the entertainment district. Our phone number is 251-255-5155, and our website is www.cannabama.com. That's CannaBama.com. There's two N's in Canna, one M in Bama. So many people get that wrong. So give us a call if you need some consultation. You can call and speak to staff Monday through Thursday from 10 to 7, Friday and Saturday from 10 to 8, and Sunday from noon to 5. I like to be there on Sundays a lot because it's a slow day. People can come in. They have time to ask all their questions, and I always meet some really great new customers on Sunday. But come and see us if you have questions, even if you don't think you want to buy anything, come and ask your questions. I think you'd be surprised at what you can learn and what you could try. And who knows, might just be everything you're looking for. Tonight, I want to welcome my guest, Ariel Griggs.
Hello, hello.
Hello. So, Ariel, you are a real estate broker, and tonight yes. We want to jump right in to our topic because we have two awesome ladies on the show tonight. Ariel, let's talk about housing.
Yes, let's talk about it.
So let's say estates across the county legalize or create marijuana programs. Users are seeing discrimination in the housing market, and the housing market has been in crisis across the country due to high interest rates, extensive qualifications to gain approval. I know I went through that last year, as well as the current inflation.
Yes.
Interest rates are just, everybody's budget is stretched thin. I read something the other day that said it costs a family of four $11,000 more than it did a year ago.
Yes.
To buy groceries and live daily life. $11,000 more. I don't know about you, but I haven't gotten an $11,000 raise.
That's another job. You need another job
to
cover that gap.
That's crazy.
And
or somebody else willing to get it.
Right.
We're going to have that communal living thing again where we have multiple families and generations in homes because none of us can afford it.
No.
Well, so tell us, I want to get into the marijuana discrimination, but let's talk about just the housing crisis in general. What has been the biggest contributor that you have seen to the current housing shortage?
Affordability.
Well, yeah.
Affordability and credit.
Mm-hmm.
Being credit worthy.
Right.
And a lot of it is on the lending side.
Right.
And being scrutinized so much with lending.
Right.
And needing a large lump sum of cash, money, and capital. You are faced with inflation. Where do you save? How can you save?
Right.
You
even can't. If you were trying to save before.
No.
You know, that's almost another $1,000 a month.
Right. So you're depleting your savings.
Right.
So a lot of the shortage is not that we don't have the homes.
Right.
Is that the homes are not affordable. When you look through COVID and how the houses just spiked the prices of housing.
Right.
It kind of balanced out during COVID because the interest rates were low. But now we're still seeing the same pricing of homes. They're still the same price. And now the interest rates have gone up as well.
Right.
So you're seeing the housings, the prices of houses, they haven't dropped.
Right.
So you're looking at high houses, high interest rates.
Right. And then high everything else.
And high everything else.
Now, I know, as a business owner, you know, COVID was horrible for all small business.
Yes, yes.
And then we sort of, in 22, we were sort of really starting to come out of it. And then all of a sudden, between like February and May, you know, gas was $4 a gallon, bacon is $10 a pound. You know, I have friends in California that said, I haven't eaten eggs in 2 months because it's $18 a pound.
Yes, yes.
You know, that came out of nowhere.
So you're trying to decide if you're going to buy a house or you're going to eat.
Or feed your kids or get medication.
Yes. And not only buying, renting.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Renting. And I encourage so many people. I'm like, if you can rent a house right now, you can probably afford to buy one because that's how they're scrutinizing.
Well, let me tell you, me specifically, mm-hmm. I was a homeowner mm-hmm. with my husband for 16 years. Mm-hmm. And then we got a divorce, and I left our home to him mm-hmm. and have been renting because I didn't have what I needed to be able – I'd never bought one by myself before. And I, at the time, I had only been working mm-hmm. like 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have what it took to get a house then. Mm-hmm. I do now. Mm-hmm. But being a single owner business, the tax return, proof of income stuff gets sticky. And when they have to look at my bank statements to prove it, then I don't qualify for anything.
Yes.
And then I have to have a hot – because they'll lend me $400,000, right. But I got to have $80,000 sitting to the side. And
right.
That's not feasable.
And you know what? There are some programs that are coming out now.
Yeah.
I have an excellent lender that I deal with, Mrs. Kyra Patterson, and she has a step-up program where they're able to give you just refinance it back into the home.
Right. Okay.
So they are the – it's knowledge.
There's ways to do it.
Yes.
Okay.
You just have to get with those people that are used to dealing with your type of people.
Okay. And
people
then here's the other issue I've seen, too, is there's so many people buying up houses. Mm-hmm. Companies, real estate companies, mm-hmm. and corporations mm-hmm. buying up huge amounts of property and then turning it all into rental property. Mm-hmm. And then, like me, whenever I would love to get a bigger place than what I have now, but I'm so scared to let my rental go because I'm like on my way to see something and it gets taken.
Yeah.
The moment it comes up and I get an appointment to see it, there's 15 other people approved before me. It's so hard to get a good rental.
There are 7 million people right now that are without a home because of the shortage. And it's because they either can't afford to rent or it's either that you like what you're facing, fighting, trying to get and see those availabilities.
Right. One thing, too, and this is weird. I didn't plan on asking you this, but I, you know, because I rent through a real estate company, I was pay online. Mm-hmm. And there's this thing now for the last 2 months that's popped up that says if you want your rental history to count toward your credit score,
yes,
press this button. And I'm like, is this a scam?
No, you can do that. That's
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing now.
Because hell yeah.
Because they're trying to help people because they know that,
right.
you know, the government, certain legislatives are familiar, are hearing what the problem is. So,
and
it's a boy that can't
help. For a lot of people, coming up with triple the rent, some people just can barely get by, but they get by.
They're getting by.
You get by, mm-hmm. but you don't have enough to do that in the first and the last month and the deposits. And, you know, it costs $3,000 just to move.
And I'm telling you, that's why I said if you can rent a house, you can buy one.
Right.
Because you're going to need exactly that much with the different programs we have and a different program.
Yeah, that's closing costs.
Yes, that can help. And the city has programs now, too.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about marijuana usage.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, we're a cannabis show,
uh-huh.
and we always want to bring it around there. But this is relevant because there's actually legislation right now pending in Congress mm-hmm. To prevent cannabis consumers and their families from being denied access to federally funded housing. So we're talking about housing that the federal government subsidizes mm-hmm. that so many people depend on.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this stipulation. And then you mentioned before the show we were talking about how marijuana usage is actually something that they ask about on a mortgage application.
They can ask about on certain applications when you're dealing with mortgaging and renting because it's all about risk assessment.
But do they ask, do you drink alcohol?
You know what? I have not heard of that.
Do they ask, do you take narcotics?
I think narcotics, it may be
you know,
one
like
of the
pain
ones on there.
Prescription, I wonder?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because, like, whose business
I
believe, is that?
I don't know about the pain medication, but I'm quite sure about maybe
well,
narcotics.
Well, half the country wouldn't qualify for a mortgage
but
if they did.
They wouldn't. But, like, they're trying to... It's,
right.
You know, the mortgage lenders are trying to protect their investment, so they're
right.
like, risk
I get
assessment,
that.
Risk assessment.
But okay, so here's where it's mm-hmm. relevant to this new legislation. It's to provide that an individual who uses marijuana in compliance with state law. So here in Alabama, once it's off the ground, that would be a card-carrying patient of the
right.
medical marijuana program, and they're being denied access. It's to prevent them from being denied access to federally funded housing. So, and that's being, there's stuff being introduced by Senator Booker, Basically, under current federal law, people who use marijuana, including those who do so in compliance with state law, are ineligible for placement in federally funded houses. And others are who are residing in subsidized housing can be evicted. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about this more. Mm-hmm. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight we're here with Ariel Griggs. She is a real estate broker, and we're talking about housing. I want to repeat what I was trying to finish saying right before. I didn't realize that the music was going to cut on. Mm-hmm. So this is a statement by Normal. Under current federal law, people who use marijuana, including those who do so in compliance with state laws, are ineligible for placement in federally funded housing. Others who are already residing in subsidized housing can be evicted even if their use is not bothering their neighbors. So this is people who aren't bothering anybody, and they're consuming. Because let's face it, people are consuming whether they're state certified or not. People are consuming cannabis everywhere. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about someone who is dependent on federally funded houses or subsidized housing, you know, this is in a case where no one's complained, but that if they somehow find out and
they're at risk of losing their home.
Yeah, they're at risk of losing their home, or they're looking for housing and that disqualifies them. And if you're talking about, I mean, people who use it even medicinally can stop to qualify if they need to be able to pass a drug test. But what about the people who can't? You know, there are people who will have seizures if they don't have their cannabis every single day, and they can't function in life. It will put their health at risk. They can't stop the medicine.
No.
So what do we do when we need the medicine, but we also need shelter?
Well, a lot of times it goes to the stigma that's surrounding marijuana. Mm-hmm. And again, like I said earlier, this is all about risk. Mm-hmm. This is what they're not looking at the livelihoods of what people need and why they need these things.
Yeah, they don't care about that.
No, it's about what the numbers say, what statistics say.
Well, and I think especially in banking, because I don't know how much you know about banking with cannabis, is I barely have a checking account, and I have a federally legal product. Mm-hmm. And but because it is all in the same family and cannabis is federally illegal, banks are federally insured. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. I get it. Mm-hmm. But we can't get loans. We can't get, bless you, lines of credit. Mm-hmm. I can't even get business credit cards. Mm-hmm. So I surely, you know, it would come across this issue. Applying for a mortgage.
Very much so. And with the federal subsidized homes, that can be anyone that receives any type of aid from the government.
Right. It doesn't even have to necessarily be housing.
Yeah, Section 8 or anything like that, HUD homing.
Right.
And they feel like a lot of stigma to it is like, if you can afford to keep the habit up, do you really need this housing?
Well, and I think that's the problem. Yeah. You used a good word to point this out, as you said habit, because that's what people can't wrap their brains around in general, is that we're not talking about I like to drink in the afternoon or on the weekends. And people certainly do use it in that way. We call it recreational or adult use. But all cannabis use is medical. But, you know, people have this stigmatized view of the plant. And as long as it's not seen as food and medicine,
it's seen as
a drug. And even though it's, you know, federally recognized as medicine, even if it's not legal, it's still recognized. I mean, the United States has a patent on CBD.
Yeah.
Why they have a synthetic THC. They know its value. But the banking, I think, you know, even if President Biden decided tomorrow to say, okay, it's federally legal, no descheduling needed, it's not on the schedule, anybody anywhere can use it, sell it, grow it, whatever, we still couldn't get banking. We would still need to pass banking laws to catch up. So I can see how this would be an incredibly big issue. Let me ask you this. What is HUD housing?
HUD Housing is a government-funded housing program. HUD, they basically, everything goes through HUD. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Section 8. Even what the certain stipulations as me as a realtor mm-hmm. can be overseen through and by HUD.
Okay.
HUD does have a lot of programs. It's a very wide program with a federal government that basically they oversee all type of housing.
Mm-hmm.
All housing goes through HUD.
Okay.
And they're making sure that everything is in federal law and compliance.
Right.
They're also making sure that they're supposed to be responsible for people not being discriminated
right.
through as well either. You
right.
know, anything
okay.
with veterans.
For any reason. Right. Veterans are discriminated
yes.
against.
All
different
HUD
races, different sexualities. Mm-hmm. Lots of people mm-hmm. get denied housing mm-hmm. for different reasons, and I mean, it sounds like more people than not would qualify for some sort of discrimination.
More people would qualify than not. They are making one thing that the federal government is trying to do is what they're really good at doing is not taking accountability. So what they're trying
yes.
to do is say, hey, you all don't qualify for this. We're going to make it a state issue
mm.
or something that the state has to be bothered with and let them
right.
govern this.
Right.
So we won't be liable for lawsuits. Again, it's all
right.
about risk assessment and management.
The big giant federal government made
yes.
a rule. But they're going to leave it to the overburdened states to enforce it.
Yes,
because
sounds they don't
like
want to
what
be
Alabama
vulnerable.
Does.
Yes, it's all about accountability.
Right. Let's. Yeah. No, we have plenty of laws that have passed in Alabama that that they have no money to enforce. And anyway,
mm-hmm.
Okay. So has the interest rate increase? We talked about this earlier. This mm-hmm. interest rate increase has that been the major cause of the decline of home purchases? And do you think that people being declined for home purchases is the reason the rental market is so shorted?
Oh, yes. We every day.
I kind of ask a loaded question with like four answers, but.
Well, I'll just break it down.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that we see coming into our office, me as a minority.
Mm-hmm.
Your role as a realtor or broker is much different than my counterparts that are not a minority.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we have to teach what it is and how to purchase a home.
Right.
A lot of these people are first-generation home buyers.
Right.
So, and a lot of time, they may have the credit but not have the income.
Right.
So, like I was telling you earlier, the prices of houses have not came down.
Right.
So, without the prices of housing have not came down, their interest rates have not came down, the income has not gone
well
up.
That I was just thinking mm-hmm. someone needs to say that our cost of living
mm-hmm.
has gone up exponentially, but no one's income has moved.
No one income has gone anywhere. No.
And now and we just talked about this last week. Now we've got the farm bill that's
mm-hmm.
up, and they're talking about $30 billion in cuts to the SNAP program.
Mm-hmm.
At the time in our history that it's, I mean, we might as well be in the Great Depression. The way they're going
we're going to be
lines.
There. So a lot
you
of
know?
Times with the interest rates going up, and the federal government, all that's who controls the interest rates.
And
a lot
I
of people
know,
think
I mean,
the
who
banks,
does it benefit
it's
to keep
not
them high?
The banks, it's the federal government. They dictate to the banks how, what the interest rates per day are going to be because they change daily. You know, so and it's a lot of times that I could probably afford a house yesterday, but today I can't afford
mm-hmm.
a house because the interest rate went up by half a percentage, and now I can't afford because of my
yeah.
DTI, my debt to income ratio.
Right, one little mm-hmm. tweak, and
yes.
You're off.
Yes,
it's kind of like I remember we were so poor, and my husband was unemployed,
mm-hmm.
and I was having our first baby,
mm-hmm.
and we qualified for help, thank God, but within $100,
I know,
and it was like skin of our teeth. If he had gotten a 25-cent raise, we wouldn't have got anything.
And that's how it is with some
yeah.
of the interest rates. It'll
yeah.
disqualify you.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. So do you mm-hmm. have you personally ever come across? I know one other thing that I've come across in the real estate specifically is that a lot of commercial real estate
mm-hmm.
has marijuana riders.
Mm-hmm.
That when they built these strip malls, you know, they put in a rider that says we don't ever want marijuana stores or strip clubs or smoke shops, different types of businesses, but there are marijuana riders that keep people like me
mm-hmm.
from being able to rent, in a commercial spot.
Yes, so, you see those a lot.
And that's the same risk assessment.
Because a lot of people feel like as if you're selling a marijuana, there's going to be smoking of marijuana.
Right.
And that's going to destroy
right.
the building.
Right.
So a lot of times they're thinking about the integrity of the
building.
I
think they mm-hmm. still think of us as criminal types.
Yes, criminal types are either smoking. And sometimes you may run into the same thing with someone that wants to do a cigar lounge.
That's true.
They don't want the same,
right.
you know, inhabiting the premises.
All right, Ariel, we're about out of time. Can you tell us where we can find you so that if we want to buy a house, rent a house, we need some information. Tell us where to find you.
I'm Ariel Griggs at 251-366-5868, or you can email me at arielgriggsrealtor@gmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook at Ariel Griggs or hashtag Ariel the Agent. So just look me up. I'm kind of everywhere. I'm in a wind.
Yes, you are. Well, and, like, you've helped me file my ERC.
I do everything.
Which, thanks to the federal government, is taking forever.
We think they're holding money to gain interest. Well, that's what I feel like.
When I applied for my EIDL, they approved me. It took me almost a year to get it.
It's currently like drowning.
I'm not going to be drowning in 6 months. I'm already there. Yeah, I need you to hurry it up. And then they still sent it to the wrong bank.
I just tell our citizens and our American people, your taxpayers, complain.
Right.
Write your legislative.
Let people know
we can't suffer in silence.
Yes, we love to tell people to call their senators or representatives. Mm-hmm. I don't think they listen.
No.
But we do tell them to do that a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. Anytime that you hear anything about changes in this legislation, we're going to be looking out for it and looking at Senator Booker. He's been putting forth some legislation that's really going to help the American people. But we definitely don't need any more reason for people to have a harder time finding a home.
No, we don't.
Not in Mobile.
No.
Not in Mobile.
We're
seeing
all the homeless people.
Right. We're already, you know, underserved. And we have a lot of people in subsidized housing. And I know a lot of my customers are in subsidized housing. And I would hate to see them get kicked out into the street because of the medicine that they're using that meets their needs. And have to look for housing. Just
especially.
Like we don't want people to fail a drug test and lose their
job.
Well,
they kind of look at marijuana usage like they do with mental illness.
Right.
You know, it's not a big thing until someone is in a shopping center and, you
right.
know.
And until they're shooting kids up
at
school. No,
yes.
That's exactly right. And then, maybe we should do something about mental health in America. And it's like, we've been screaming this all along. Real quick, when we come back, we're going to be talking with Cynthia Cabrera from Hometown Hero out of Texas. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now, with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here on Sweet Home Cannabama every Monday night at 7 o'clock right here on FM Talk 106.5. And we are live streaming right now from social media on the Sweet Home Cannabama page as well as YouTube. I want to welcome our next guest. I'm going to read her bio. This is Cynthia Cabrera. Cynthia has had a rich and varied career with a constant emphasis on innovative and emerging industries. She has worked in-house as Chief Strategy Officer since 2022. In 2016, she formed the Cading Group, a boutique consulting firm focused on the vape industry, advising clients from Fortune 500 companies all the way down to small startups, including at the time Hometown Hero, where she works, on regulatory issues, compliance, manufacturing, new products, strategic partnerships, government affairs, and business development. Cynthia served as executive director of the Smoke-Free Alternatives Trade Association, growing the organization from 4 members to 1,500 within 3 years, resulting in the largest e-cig trade group in the world. Her introduction to the e-cig industry in 2011 came as vice president of compliance and logistics for VMR Products, then the leading e-cigarette and vape company. She has been interviewed and or quoted in the Huffington Post, Reuters, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, The Hill, Washington Post, Al Jazeera, NBC, Fix Business, CBS, ABC, Associated Press, The Sacramento Bee, LA Times, and presented at events ranging from the Food and Drug Law Institute's annual conference, the Global Tobacco and Nicotine Forum, Global Forum on Nicotine, Tobacco Merchants Association, and countless industry-related events. And now, here she is on Sweet Home Cannabama. Welcome, Cynthia.
Hey, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm good. We were just talking about the housing crisis and how that applies to medical patients, so we've already gotten some good information on the show. But welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about Hometown Hero, what you do, and then we'll move on to some state's news and the Farm Bill.
Okay. So Hometown Hero has been around since 2015, started as a vape company. That's how I met them. And it's a funny story. I quit the association where I was executive director, and the next day, Hometown Hero CEO tracked me down somehow. He saw the press release, and he was like, "We have to hire you." He's like, "We don't have a lot of money right now because we just started." He's like, but he was so insistent and so charming that I took them on, and I've just kind of grown with them. And then a couple years ago, they convinced me to come in-house to do the same work, and I did. So I moved from Florida to Texas to do that.
Well, at least you're still in the South, right? I mean, it's not even remotely the same type of South. But, you know. And Florida is like the South North, the North South. And Texas is like
Florida's
the West South. Yeah, I'm just down in the hot part.
Yeah. I've been to Mobile, and it was so humid, I wanted to go back to South Florida.
We're subtropical here. We're where the crow flies about 5 minutes from water everywhere you turn.
Yeah, it is beautiful, though. It's really pretty.
So let's talk a little bit about some of your advocacy work, and where do you want to start? Because there's a lot.
Well, I guess we could start with, like, the most recent thing, mm-hmm. which is Louisiana session finished today.
Yes.
About an hour ago, maybe an hour and a half ago.
Okay, so I read something earlier today, but give us the lowdown.
Oh my gosh, Louisiana has been a real roller coaster of a ride. And, you know, it's a tiny little state. I think it's got like 4 million people.
It's my home state.
Is it?
Oh. Yes. I've been here 20 years, but that's my home state. I am born and bred.
Well, I'm not sure if I should say congrats.
Hey, no, trust me. It's embarrassing. It's just as bad as living in Alabama, trust me.
This was a rough session. And so every year the legislators come back and somebody wants to murder the hemp industry. And
I know
the marijuana industry there has a nice monopoly. Medical marijuana has a nice monopoly there. And so every year, you know, and a lot of money, a lot more than the hemp folks do.
Right.
And every year it's just like a fight for our lives. In Louisiana.
Now, we have something similar in Alabama every year. This year was a vape bill, actually, and it almost did us in on that. And then we had an issue with edibles with the state health department. So we've been fighting similar issues.
Yeah, it's kind of incredible. One day I'm going to write an article or a book or something about all the different forces that the hemp industry has to work against.
I know, and people don't believe me when I'm like, it really is like a whole dumpster fire every single day.
I know. It's like the marijuana wars, the marijuana civil war or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a cannabis civil war. It's insane how
it
many
really
people
is.
Are just pulling in their own directions.
It really is, because I've been saying that. It seems to be that the people that want us to fail now suddenly more than anyone are our own people. The ones that we were like, yeah, heck yeah, let's get legislation handled and let's get legalization and get a medical program. And then those of us who are still in the hemp side are like, hey, well, what about us? And they come back, you know, it seems like they're now coming back instead of helping us keep stable ground. They're kicking us in the face.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, you're 100% correct. And we had a situation where we were talking to somebody in the medical marijuana space, and essentially this person said, we want all of it. Because we were saying, you know, there's room for everybody, you know.
Yeah, but they're not even making all of it, you know. That's what aggravates me is they're not making all of it. A lot of the products that I sell, they would never find in a dispensary because they're not interested in the whole plant. They're not interested in the CBD products that are just as valuable. They all are only singularly interested in THC. And that frustrates me because, you know, I tell people all the time, if I had to choose one part of that plant to keep, it would be the CBD. You know, yeah. It fixes the problem. And they're not going to nurture that part of it. Why not let us keep doing that?
I'll tell you that in your old home state of Louisiana, there was a last minute edit over the weekend that wiped out all CBD products. And so we had to work over the weekend, yeah, to get the wording changed and try to get it changed, get that amendment put in during conference, which we were able to do. But yeah, I mean, because they don't understand the industry, so they just make up laws and make up rules. And my friend Jeff is like, he says, I don't understand why a legislator who doesn't know anything about a business tries to make rules for it. And I was like, welcome to America.
Well, right. Like, I tell people all the time. I watched the meetings about the hemp program and then about the medical program, and these world-famous doctors that worked with, like, Charlotte Fege and people came to Alabama to speak on the patient's behalf. And the other people that were opposed to it couldn't even say the word cannabinoid. They kept saying, five different people stood up and said the word cannabinoid, and I would have left the room in handcuffs. I was so furious. I would have wanted to stand up and go, you don't even know the word. How can you possibly know what you're playing at here? This is people's lives.
Yeah, and they just, I mean, it's just, the legislators are supposed to do the will of the people.
Right.
Unless they don't want to. And then, you know, all bets are off.
Right.
And so there are a lot of people that have a moral opposition, or for like that other person I was talking to, that just wants medical, right? He doesn't see room for anything else. And so when you get people that have an agenda that is all about them and their thoughts, as opposed to what is best for the people that are asking for this thing, the adults that are asking for this thing, you're never going to have a good situation.
Right. Well, I don't understand why it would need to be medical. Medical to me is the most complicated version of this, because the states are trying to keep it so contained. And it's a wild thing that was here before us. It's not meant to be contained. And I hope two things. I hope two things, that after 5.5, 6 years for me almost in this business, that we'll start to see people have rational thought based on fact and actually see the value of it, but stop trying to control it, because it's not, you can't control something this huge.
No, you can't, but they're going to try. And the problem, we go back to the marijuana civil war, right? Where the marijuana companies, these big MSOs, would like to shut down any type of competition. And so that's kind of like what we're fighting against, right? So we have to deal with the legislators who are fed information, you know, that can be biased in one direction. And then we're dealing with the people that are very well-funded, deep pockets. Look at what happened in Florida. And you know, we're having to, it's not a war on one front. It's multiple fronts.
Right.
And so it's,
well, we're not, they're not the only ones, because before the marijuana industry turned on us, we still had to fight tobacco and pharma and stigma and propaganda and a lack of knowledge, you know, across society. Like 98% of the population has no idea what we're talking about. And that's a problem, because when people don't have an understanding of the plant, of the body, and how the two work together, there's so much room for error. It's not even funny. And everything good gets lost in translation with people who have no idea, again, what they're talking about, but trying to make rules for something they themselves don't understand.
Yeah, and you can't make rules for something in a vacuum, right? You really need to understand, what is the entire supply chain? Who are the consumers?
Right.
What do the businesses look like? You know, you have a retail shop, somebody else is a manufacturer.
Right.
All of them have different issues. They're impacted by different things. So, I mean,
100% each stage of from the seed, verification to the planting, to the processing, to the transport and the retail, each one of us is completely different.
Correct.
So no part works in any way the same.
Yeah. Trying to like stuff everything into like this rules. I mean, this is why we end up with, you know, like in Minnesota, 300 pages of rules and regulations. Like, it's insane.
I do think it's good that they're trying to differentiate between industrial usage hemp and not going through the doing the performance testing versus the chemical composition testing that all hemp goes through now, all cannabis goes through, and eliminate that process for the ones growing it for fiber and for mm-hmm. construction materials and oil and, you know, like biodiesel, that kind of thing, and give them different rules to live by than the ones who are making products that are consumed, because those are two different things. You can't make, even within what we have, you can't make one rule for everybody. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more with Cynthia about some more states info and the Farm Bill. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. You can join us every Monday night here at FM Talk 106.5. And now you can live stream us and see our beautiful faces on the live stream on the Sweet Home Cannabama Facebook page, on Instagram, and then you can find us on YouTube as well. Tonight we're talking with Cynthia Cabrera, the Chief Strategy Officer for Hometown Hero, which is a brand. I've actually met a couple of the guys from Hometown Hero at different expos and always enjoy, and we've sold different Hometown Hero products in the store before, so we're excited to talk to Cynthia. Let's get into these other things. Tell us, did we actually talk about what Louisiana did? I mean, I know no. You kind of brought it around and said we fixed it, but let's actually get to the point.
Well, I wouldn't say we fixed it perfectly, but we started out with a full-on ban and ended up with reduced milligrams. They were 8 milligrams per serving. Now it's 5 milligrams per serving, and they capped the number of servings in a package to 40 milligrams.
Okay.
They excluded certain convenience stores from being able to sell the product. I think truck stops are still allowed.
Please, somebody get it out of gas stations, please.
Well, you know, as somebody pointed out to me, this is a single operator guy who owns a store and a gas station, and he has his own brand that he sells in mm-hmm. his store, and he has a gas station, and he's like, how can I not sell my own products in my own store? You know? But because he has a gas station, he's got this problem. So anyway, so I mean, it could have been worse, but it can be better. There's always next year,
right?
But yeah, Louisiana has a lot of prohibitionists.
Let me ask you this: you said 5 milligrams per item, 40 milligrams in the pack. How many are? Is there a limit to how many packs you can buy?
No.
So you can buy 6 packs of it and piece it together to make the gummy you want.
Correct. If that's what you need. I mean, I'm a lightweight.
I mean, there's ways around this. There's levels to it.
Well, that's why prohibition doesn't work.
And right.
That's why trying to restrict adults from getting what they believe they need
right.
is just, it's nonsensical, right?
Right.
It's, you're trying to play God for a bunch of people. And the people who don't want it are the people who have a moral or prohibitionist opposition. Not that they have any science or anything about it. It's just they don't like it. So they don't want you to have it.
Right. And that, like I said, that goes back to education and why, to me, what I do is different than what you do, just like we talked about before. I primarily am boots on the ground with the end consumer. And I think it's a privileged place to be and a super important place to be, because not everybody is a people person, and that's what this is. We're in the people business and our tool is cannabis, but you know, not everybody can do, you know, most people can probably figure out how to grow and how to process and use a machine and things like that. That doesn't involve human interaction. But I believe just as much as what you do relies on human interaction, what I do is definitely relies on that, because I am the one who's going to have to teach them what it is, what it does, how it works, how to use it. And so I see things differently than a lot of people, I think. But anyway, I don't want to get stuck too much on the limitations in Louisiana. I do know, here's a funny story about Louisiana. I was home, went into a shop. They had smokable flower in jars, but a little red sign that said not intended for inhalation. And I said, they were selling it as tea. And I said, you know, people are going home and smoking that, right? He said, no, I don't know a thing. So let's talk about...
people always find a way.
Yeah, exactly. Or make your own topical. That was another one I found in New Orleans. I was like, you know they're not making topical. He's like, again, I don't know anything. It's not my business. So you mentioned something in your email about a lawsuit in Arkansas.
Oh, yeah. We helped put together a lawsuit in Arkansas last year because Arkansas decided, again, a prohibitionist, moralistic approach to the products, and they decided that nobody should have them. And so they came up with this terrible bill that made everything a crime. And basically what it did was it banned everything, and then it said, and if we get sued, then we're going to put in these really, really onerous and expensive regulations that no one is going to be able to comply with.
Yeah. Sounds like Alabama, where you can't sue for damages even if they run you into the ground for no reason.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we put together a bunch of, we helped put together a bunch of companies and sued, and that we got an injunction in like 2 weeks.
Wow.
In, I think it's the Eighth Circuit Court, federal court. So we got an injunction in like 2 weeks. That case is going to court this summer.
Well, it's ironic that Arkansas has legal cannabis.
They have medical.
Right, but they have cannabis that is legal, that they stamp of approval from the state for people to use this as medicine. So I don't get how those same states can then turn around and say, but this weaker version over here that everybody thinks is diet weed, that's dangerous. It makes no sense.
Can I tell you that the same company that operates in Arkansas, Louisiana, Missouri, and I think they're in Alabama, it's the same medical marijuana company that just has monopolies.
I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about.
Okay, yeah.
Them, and there's some really, really big people in Alabama who have got a very heavy bucket of money in the pot there, and they're just suing each other into oblivion. What do you think about this farm bill situation? I mean, for me, it started out strong, and then this amendment comes out of nowhere, and it's like, wait, what?
Well, the kind of the backstory on that is that the amendment was supposed to be considered individually, and what the chair did was wrap it up with sick puppies and other stuff. So all the people who had been planning to vote against that amendment could no longer vote against it once you wrapped it up with sick puppies. Like, it's not normal to take a controversial issue like ours and put it into en bloc voting.
Right.
That doesn't happen. Usually you take a bunch of non-controversial stuff that nobody's going to have an issue with and put it all together for a bloc vote.
Right.
But they did this thing that no one expected, and so it just turned everything on its head. But
it always makes me think, who got a bonus out of somewhere for that Hail Mary that just totally threw a wrench in everything?
Well, I mean, if you look, Mary Miller is from Illinois. Illinois narrowly, we got away narrowly in Illinois without a hemp ban, but I mean, like, right up until 2 o'clock in the morning on like what, Tuesday night or something, there was a ban bill that they were going to pass. So when you look at who is supporting things, you have to look at what state they come from.
Right.
Do they support recreational marijuana? Because they're going to be in a totally different camp than we are for the most part.
Right. Yeah. Well, and aside from that, I mean, here's what I've been hearing too, and I'm trying to wrap this up really quickly before we run out of time, but, you know, basically it passed in the House, you know, not by a landslide or anything, but everything I'm reading is saying there's no way it will pass in the Senate.
It passed the House Ag Committee. It still hasn't gone to the full House. So there are multiple steps that still have to happen.
Right.
And somebody on the Senate side has already said there's no way that amendment is getting through.
Right.
So this is just the beginning.
Right. So how long does the session last? I mean, how long do they have to decide whether or not they're going to pass the farm bill this year? Or are we going to go back to voting for the 2018 another year? I mean, is that possible?
It is possible. And I think the closer we get to the election, the general election, with no resolution, I think it could wait until the end of the year.
So is there a set time? I know the Alabama session has a finite amount of time. Is it an unlimited amount of time? I don't know very much about federal lobbying
There's a deadline for the farm bill, which is September 30th.
Okay.
Right? That's the deadline. It's already a year late.
Right. Yes. It expired last September. Yes.
Yeah. So the deadline is September 30th. So then the question is whether they will have anything resolved by then. And again, the closer we get to the general election, people that are running for office are not going to want to make controversial votes and that kind of thing. And we'll prefer to leave it until afterwards. So,
well,
but again, it's still
go ahead.
To go to the Senate. And then it has to, like, you know, the two bills have to match each other. It's a huge process.
Right.
It's a long process.
Right. So it's it's pretty highly likely then that we may not resolve this then.
It's possible, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to be upset if we have another year under the 2018 Farm Bill, let's be honest.
You or me.
You know, I mean, I know my state's probably ready to come up with some bans too. Cynthia, I want to thank you so much for being with us tonight on Sweet Home Canabama, and we'd love to have you back on the show anytime.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, anytime. We'll see you guys next week on Sweet Home Canabama. Good night.